something happens and you're like, I got to go all the way back and start over again. But when you do get that one, it's really something.
I'm Ryan Gillespie.
And I'm Logan Clark.
And you're listening to the Darkroom Sessions. On the show today is Tyler Burvey. Tyler is a multi-format photographer located in the great state of New York. He has some incredible black and white landscape photography that he prints in both platinum and palladium and silver gelatin. We're very excited to have had Tyler on the show with us, especially as our first guest. And we had a great conversation learning more about him and his photography, and we hope you enjoy. First off, Tyler, I really like where you're at, man. Where are you located there?
Oh, thank you. Well, it's New York. Is the state that I'm in, but currently the building is just a barn, garage area that, yeah, I have some lights and stuff like that off to the side here. Yeah. And then there's a little bit of, some like a stationary bike and different things like that. And then I have over on the outside, there's a canoe, yeah, that's standing there. That's, hasn't actually gotten much use, unfortunately. And then on that side is a like workbench, and I actually have a motorcycle over there. So yeah, it's like a little bit of, I guess maybe a man cave, but yeah. A great little spot.
Yeah, it looks awesome. So Tyler Burvey with us here on this podcast. This is our first that we're doing, and we're super excited to have you on board with Logan and I.
Absolutely.
So brief little introductions. I know, Tyler, you know, you and I, we've kind of followed each other on social media for some time now. I'm host Ryan Gillespie. And we're co-hosting with Logan Clark.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. And so, Tyler, first off, obviously, we want to know just a little bit about you personally. Can you share just a little bit about, you know, kind of where you're located, your maybe a little bit of, you know, you married, you got a family, you single. What do you like to do besides photography?
Yeah, no, I'll give you. And well, first off, thank you both for having me on. It's I think Ryan, you and I spoke about this a while ago, and yeah, excited to finally be talking to you. And born New York, then you know went to school in New York as well. I should say it was like not New York City. About 2.5 hours out of the city north, in a town called Chatham, which is like in the Hudson River Valley. It was cool place to grow up, and then between college and some jobs, you know, moved around a little bit. Was in Vermont, did spend some time in New York City, and then also spent some time in Bozeman, Montana, which I absolutely love. And hopefully maybe someday get back out there. But currently living in New York again, and it's been good, although it's obviously with everything going on, it's been a little weird the past few months, but yeah, it's been going well. Then, you know, I'm not married, but I do have a, you know, girlfriend who's been with me for a while. And actually whenever you want to start discussing, I guess, how I got into specifically film photography, she was actually the one who was the catalyst to everything and kind of got me into it.
Interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah. And we've been together for, I think it's going to be 5 years now.
Excellent.
So it's, yeah. And we have, although no kids, do have a dog that is treated like a child. Although
absolutely.
She's quite spoiled. Quite spoiled. And, but then, besides photography, I did mention that, you know, I have a motorcycle. I like to, you know, get on that every once in a while. Love to travel, which I guess coincides with photography. And then, hiking, just a little bit of getting outside, doing different things. But photography is when I have free time, it's a large portion of that, whether it be in the dark room, whether it be out shooting. I really like it. And the thing that I like most about it is that it doesn't matter if I'm traveling or if I'm on a bike or if I'm taking a walk or hanging out with Soph, my girlfriend, or, with family. It's, you can kind of do it whenever, as long as, you're not too irritating about it. I guess if you
yeah.
see a camera in somebody's face at a family function, only so much, and then it gets a little overboard. But, I did have cameras when I was younger and kind of growing up, and my mom, I can always remember she had a little point and shoot, always out, kind of always going around. So that was some early memories of that. And like I said, I did have some cameras, but they never really clicked with it. And then I met Soph, like I said, just about 5 years ago now. And, it was right before Christmas, and on our first Christmas together, she bought me a box Polaroid with, some Polaroid, or actually it was Impossible Project film.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
And I went to, and I had been talking about getting a camera, but then that I really loved it. And, even though I think I was lucky and I got one Polaroid to develop, the rest of them were just crap, which was the case with Impossible then, but it was awesome. And so I went to local camera shop to see if I could, grab some more. They did not have any, but they did have, a few old cameras. And, so I ended up walking out with a 35 millimeter, and then it snowballed off a cliff from there.
Sure.
A few weeks later, I said, well, I'm not going to, send out film because it took too long. And it went to YouTube University and, saw how to develop film from different, different channels. And, got it put together a thing of, chemicals, developing tank. And then I think a few months after that, it was, I was out in Bozeman at the time, and I drove to Idaho to grab an enlarger from somebody who was selling one.
Oh, dang.
And and then it just, we had a little garage out there, like a small, it wasn't even, I don't even think I could have fit a car in it, but it was just like a little shed. And, but it did have a very small overhead door. And I duct taped and got some black plastic from Home Depot and, sealed it all up, and it was my little dark room.
So the dark room was out in the garage.
Yeah. And no water.
Yeah.
There was a light that I could turn on at some point, but that wasn't even. Luckily, I did have an outlet that I could plug in a safe light, and so I had to bring all my water out, and it was. It's amazing. It was great.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And then, like I said, it just kind of just compounded, needed to have, then you got the, 35 millimeter wasn't enough. So you want to go to 120 or medium format, and then you go up from there to 4x5, and then, looking into alternative processes and so that's why when I say it, I do have some other hobbies, but they're few and far between because that takes up a lot of my time.
I think that's probably safe to say for all of us. I'm a little bit like you. I like to run on dirt bikes and some other things, but man, photography definitely takes up majority of my time.
Yeah. And actually, you were always a, I feel like you said, we've been following each other for quite a while. And it was, you were always an inspiration to me as far as, especially with your Platinum prints. And now recently, and I'm going to butcher the name, so apologies, but the Photo Gruyere.
Photo Gruyere.
That has been, and I really, I'm a little upset that you actually did do that, because I would not have been I would have not thought, you know what, I can let it go. You know, it's fine. But then seeing some of your stuff, I was like, oh, that looks really, that looks great. I really want to do that.
That's funny. I'd gone down that path almost exactly like you, where I was set up a dark room in my garage because that was the only workable space I could find. And silver printing just kind of wasn't my thing. I was looking for a different look and feel. And I kind of found that in Platinum and Palladium. And that was really, really enjoyable process. And I still enjoy doing that. But I'd always had my eye on this photogravure process. And there was a friend of mine. He's actually down here in Portland, Ray Bittigan. And he posted a video of him doing the photogravure process, and I was kind of the same. I'm like, oh man, you son of a bitch, you shouldn't have showed me that. And knowing Ray, he's an instructor, and I know he was willing to teach and do a workshop, and so I took him up on that. And man, I've just gone down that rabbit hole really, really deeply. And you'll need to go do some looking at Logan's work. Logan has recently gone down a rabbit hole of carbon printing.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a rabbit hole for sure. You can get lost in that one.
Oh, I bet it's deep. Yep. And, yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
And you know, I think
some heartbreak. Go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say, I think that's kind of the beauty of where we're at with photography in this day and age is, at least for me, you know, I was doing film when I was much younger, even through, you know, school and college. And I was right at the point in my business doing, I was working at a portrait studio, and we had transitioned into digital. And it was kind of fun and exciting because it was so new. Right. And that instant result was amazing. And, you know, just as the years have gone on, and especially as I've gotten older, I really miss that tangible aspect of photography, whether it be just darkroom work of processing your film or actually doing some hands-on work with, whether it be silver prints, platinum, palladium, photogravure, carbon. Having something tangible from the work that you put into it is, I find, what's really appealing. And I'm starting to feel like that's what's maybe becoming appealing to the younger generation as well.
Yeah. And that it's not, you know, I've never been one to really learn from, I mean, I love to read and I love to research different research things to death, but no matter how much I research something, no matter how much I read on something, or if you told me the, you know, how to do what you do step by step for platinum palladium, it still won't sink in until I make countless mistakes. And yeah, those mistakes, you know, I don't know what I learned so much more from it. And
yep,
having that, the repetition of doing something over and over again, failing over and over again.
Yep.
Or, and then you get so close and you think it's going to come out, and then something happens and you're like, I got to go all the way back and start over again. But when you do get that one, it's really something.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't know, you want to just run around the house, just shout, look at this.
Oh, I'm guilty of it. Yeah. Well, yeah, especially with large format photography, you know, Logan and I, we just went out, actually, was that last weekend or the weekend before, Logan?
Last weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, you're lugging around, what, 30, 40 pounds of gear. Some places you're hiking into these locations. you know, Logan and I had a conversation for a while. Both him and I kind of found ourselves kind of like, I don't know if the word's skimping, but you know, it's like trying to develop your film with the least amount of chemicals as possible, right? Because you're like, oh, I got to make it last as long as possible. But in the end, what was your comment, Logan? Like, there's, what did you say? Something about there's too much into this to.
Yeah, I mean, you've invested so much already, you know, just learning how to use a camera to, you know, now you've got a shot that you really care about. And yeah, I just kind of quit settling on, you know, budgeting my chemistry and,
yeah,
you know, I just don't. It's not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, Tyler, what percentage, I, you know, on your website you have silver and platinum and then wet plate. What percentage of those do you find yourself working in? When you go out, do you photograph and know that's going to be a silver print or that's going to be a platinum print? Or do you just kind of come home and let it tell you?
Yes. And not to be too broad, but it's, you know, with, I'll start with the wet plate collodion stuff. That was,
yeah.
Ryan, same thing with you with the, it was that, I took a workshop and I thought that, okay, this will be enough where I could just take it. I could experience it. I've always wanted to try it. And it was a horrible move because then I came home and was like, okay, now I need it because I want to, you know, do that. You know, you go around and you're like, oh, that would look amazing. Oh, this would look incredible. So, but that tends to be because it's so time consuming and because you need to have everything set up, whether it be that you bring your dark room with you or you have to have everything. And, with the chemistry, just I tend to do that more in winter. So mm-hmm. that kind of is, and it has helped me just saying, okay, I'm going to do it in winter. Then that way I'm not constantly thinking, oh, well, do I want to do, you know, to your point, Logan, silver, platinum, you know, it's like, right. Okay, well, that's winter. I'm going to put that to the side. For the most part, if it's large format, I tend to think more in terms of platinum.
Okay.
But that said, I there are certain ones where I get back and I'm like, you know what? I want to just print this in, you know, on silver just to see what it, and it, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. With 35 and medium format, I tend to steer more towards silver print unless it's something that, especially 35. And when I do print in platinum or, you know, or any alternative process, I'll use a digital negative, which is just, and not that I mean, it produces incredible results when I can nail it, but it's, a lot of computer time. And that's kind of what I try to step away from when, you know, going to, when doing all that, I like being in the dark room, not sitting in front of a computer screen for the most part. Although large format has been like kind of like this love hate relationship. There's, when everything lines up, it's great, but it is one of the most infuriating things. And not that I, it's just that it's special. it's also too, just, it's incredible. And I think that I've been trying to think about what is the, my hiccup. I just need to change my mindset with it. And, having a series that I think about and going out and scouting a lot more. I tend not to do that. I like to constantly be moving, constantly doing stuff. And that's why I like, you know, using a 35 or, you know, a medium format camera that I can not, I don't want to say be fast, be really quick with it, but it's just that, you know, not as concrete as large format is where you're setting up an 8x10 and, you know, you could take, you know, more than just, 5 minutes to set something up. But I think if, that's something that I've been chewing on for a little bit, of trying to see how it can, have a better flow of that.
Tyler, what, you have an 8x10? Is that what you're using for your LUT format?
Yeah. I did have a 4x5. I got rid of it. I went to an 8x10, which I love. It's great. But I have been thinking about going back to not getting rid of the 8x10 because I love it for, especially for collodion. That's, and a contact print of an 8x10 is really special. But having a 4x5 that it's just, a little bit easier to put into a smaller pack, take with me maybe more often. And, use it a little bit more than I do my 8x10, because the 8x10 it doesn't get used nearly enough. And that's just because I try to have something set up to a certain, or know exactly where I'm going and have it be where not the, exploring that I would with other cameras.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I've done 4x5, 5x7, 8x10. I'm currently set right now on 4x10, but you know, if I look back at my amount of work that I've done, you know, it's like 75-80% 4x5 and, you know, 10% if that on the 8x10. And I miss that smaller format for large format, just because it was so much kind of easier to work with and deal with. And I don't know, there was something about it, but like you say, man, once you get into those bigger negatives, they're a beauty in themselves, and there's no quality like it. The other thing I like that you said about it is that, yeah, just when you get comfortable with large format, it's going to kick you in the ass. There'll be something that just humbles you and takes you back to, and just wants you to throw that camera away. But then all of a sudden you'll grab something that's just like, damn, this is awesome. You know, why would I use anything else?
Right.
And both of those scenarios, I've found that it's a very small percentage, go, yeah, I know exactly what happened, or I know exactly why that went bad or right. And the other larger percent of the time, I go, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what happened. I thought everything was going right, and I don't have an image, or half of it, or you've got this, I don't know. It's just that there's or something, you think it's a crap shot, and it develops and you're like, wow,
that was magic.
I can savor this now because it's not going to be here for, I'm not going to feel this again for quite some time. It's incredible, both good and bad. But Logan, if you don't mind me asking, what do you, I do see in your background that it looks like 4x10. But do you shoot mostly 8x10 or 4x5?
I kind of do all three. I have a 8x10 with a 4x10 back. And so I carry both, when I have that camera. And then, I just kind of got into that, size. I've had 4x10 for quite a while. I had another 4x10 camera. So I've probably been maybe 2 or 3 years with that, format, and just wanted to step up, to larger prints. Is really why I started doing more contact printing in carbon. But you know, I've shot probably 95% of all my images on 4x5. So, so I primarily do 4x5 with silver, cause that's as big as I can print with my enlarger, and everything else goes to contact printing. I have some 35, and I primarily use that for like family events and stuff when I'm moving quickly and just don't want to think. And then I kind of have a timeline of, you know, family events or just being out random days, you know, when I get to developing that. So that's kind of a neat feature. But did I answer your question?
No. It's actually, I'm trying to remember. It was a a few months ago, but even contact 4x5 contact prints, they're like a little jewel. I mean, they're really special too. And I guess I never really, I don't know why it didn't hit me before, but it was, and I guess that gets back. I want to, after that one, I've been considering more and more, getting another 4x5, but then I also, I've got, you know, enough cameras already, but that being said,
there's never enough cameras.
What's one more, you know, it can, it'll just, you know, it'll blend right in.
Yeah. It just isn't one in the family.
Yeah. And, with that, and then also too, I would like to, I don't know about both of you, but when you're doing a project or if you think about a series beforehand or something kind of develops and then you kind of go with it. And I've always, not that I have a, you know, it's only been 5 years, not that I have a you know, a long time to draw upon, but it always seems for me is that it just kind of happened where I would like to, think something through and have much more of a game plan and then kind of attack it from that way instead of just going out shooting and then seeing some sort of trend and building upon that.
Yeah.
I find myself personally, I would love to have had more of a goal and a plan and try to stick to it. More often I find myself going out, getting in the car, going for a drive. I have kind of like two little I call them side projects, but there's maybe two themes that I've kind of been working on over the last couple of years. And so it's one of those things where if I'm out and about photographing, if I see something that hits into those themes, then yeah, I'll go and grab it. But rarely am I setting out to accomplish something within those themes right from the get-go.
Yeah. And that's the way I've been, just because it's great just to get in the car, not know where you're going, or not really have a real idea of your final destination and just kind of going out and seeing what you find. I really, really like that. But I just thought that, hey, it might be something where you discover something new, even though you kind of have something planned out, you might discover something new in the process.
Yeah. Well, that actually brings me to a question I had. You have a series going on your website, a cold wind.
Yeah.
I'm curious of not only the formats that you're using on that, but that definitely looks like a project that you were working on or continually working on. And is it in one particular location or a variety of different locations?
I'm trying to remember exactly how I was going through negatives for something. And I can't I think it was because I was going back through, you know, binders of negatives and just trying to find a print or a negative that I wanted to print. And I saw this reoccurring kind of thing. And then it was just that, I put some of them together, and then I was looking through prints and saw there were a few that kind of connected into that. And then, so that's kind of, and it just was one of those things where I never went out to shoot anything that was in it. In hindsight, I just kind of put some things together, and it was not shot in one location. There was some in from Montana. There's some from, you know, New York. And then also too, just, some other places that were on, you know, on a road trip, you know, passing by and, you know, that kind of, you know, seeing where it is, which if there was one in particular, I could probably tell you where, it was, but, you know, some in Idaho, something like, you know, that there were, and some going down towards, Colorado.
It's cool to know that they weren't all in just the same location, that they were kind of a variety of different places, but they all go well together. Some really awesome images in that series. There's a couple that I'm like, awesome, awesome job.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. The other one I had a question on, I'm not sure what album it's in. Maybe it's in Sentimental Storm Clouds. And yeah, it's actually got to be one of my most favorite images of yours. It's almost like an old dilapidated little barn that's in the background. In the foreground, there's a tree to the left that a branch is kind of hanging over the top of that barn.
Yes, I know exactly what one you're talking about.
What? Just curious, what was your format on that?
That was 35.
Yeah.
And I, that the whole series, that was all shot around where I currently live. And it was, you know, because I was away from New York for a good, I mean, not that I was away where I never came back to it, but I wasn't living here for a while. It was just kind of coming back and kind of remembering, you know, different, because out west is just so much different than, or Montana is just the weather, everything like that is just so much different than it is here.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, there was a lot of things like coming back that kind of hit me of, oh, I remember, you know, this as a kid, or going down this place as a kid. And that particular one was, it's a, you know, a building, if you want to call it that, that I drive by almost every day. Uh-huh. And I always thought, oh, you know what, in the right light, in the, you know, it would be amazing, I thought. And it just happened to be where one time I was driving by and I did have my, you know, just my 35 with me, which I usually have. And I would have loved to have captured it and on a larger format, but that was actually the only day I've ever seen it with those conditions and
awesome,
that light and everything.
Yeah.
And so it was just very spontaneous.
After the show or at some point, I need to talk to you about getting a print of that from you.
Absolutely.
There's something about this image, and you kind of talk about it. There is a kind of a reoccurring theme that I find going on in my life when I'm photographing, is a little bit that you're saying there, where, you know, it's like always have your camera with you. And it doesn't matter what format you have with you, whatever it is, just have a camera with you. There's been so many things that I've come across while driving around where I'll think, and I don't, it's really weird that these thoughts come, but I'll say, I need to capture that because I don't know if it's going to be there for much longer. And
exactly.
So I grab it. And I'm not kidding you. It's happened so many times where I'll grab the image. Things are like just perfect. And then I'm literally driving by there like 2 or 3 weeks later and it's gone. And it blows me away because I don't know where these thoughts come from, but it really is this little voice almost in your head that's like, I need to capture that right now because I don't know if I'm ever going to see that again. Yeah. And I almost looking at that image of yours, it's almost the same. It's like, I bet you here in a couple months, I'd be surprised if that thing is still there. And maybe it is, maybe it won't. But at least you captured it in a really awesome way. So, yeah, nice one.
Congratulations. Oh, thank you. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And Logan, to your point earlier, or maybe it was you, Ryan, that when you know, chemicals and things like that, or when you get to a where – you do go out, you get something and you're really psyched on it. And, and fortunately I can do it. I realize it, but yeah, is that if it's something where I know, or I have a good feel, I shouldn't say I know, but I have a really good feeling of like, oh, I, you know, this could be really great. Or I would really love this. If my chemistry is even, you know, slightly older, there's any questions to it, I always take and just, you know what, I'll mix up a fresh batch just to make sure. Or, you know what, I might have, depending on if I have, you know, holders or, you know, if I'm have rolls of film, depending on what I'm using, it's that I won't just take one. I'll take a few, even if it's the same thing, just in case something happens. Yep. And why I do that is because, and I'm sure both of you have had countless times before too, is you take one or two, and something, whether it be you make a, you know, just a dumb mistake in developing, or, you know, it's something catches something, you know, there's a light leak, who knows, but it's just that, yeah, when those moments do come along, and I don't know, you can feel them in your gut, and it's just like, yeah, no, you need to be, you need to have the security as much as you can.
I got cocky for a long time where I'm like, oh, I got these exposures down now. You know, I used to always take two shots. And I got really cocky to the point where I'm like, I'm just going to take one shot. I'm so confident in myself. I'm just going to take one shot. And as soon as I started doing that, I don't know what happened, but again, it's one of those large format kicking you in the ass experiences, humbling you. And sure enough, my development was off really bad. And so as soon as I went back to two exposures, you know, I'm in my mind, I'm wasting two sheets of film. Well, but everything's been kind of back to normal again. And it might just be a fluke, but that's how the universe works.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No. And, I don't know how you, but I always use just the massive dev chart just to, make sure, I mean, with the tank, you know, daylight tanks and everything like that, cause you can watch it. And I'm ashamed to say that I have done it multiple times where, hey, I might hit, you know, tri-X at, you know, 400, but actually I'm shooting HP5 at, you know, 1600. So it's like, oh, well,
shit.
You know, shit. What am I doing? let's do some quick math here. And trying to get that figured out. But, and every once in a while it might work out, but it's also too, you're like, oh, well, there's something a little off about it.
Right. But, yep. Right. I was going to ask you a little bit about you had some pretty sweet little videos that you put together in the darkroom.
Oh yeah.
Is there a reason you'd stop doing those or?
Yeah. Cause I haven't unfortunately had time to get into the darkroom in the past few months.
Yeah.
There's no, and I'm hoping with winter and, usually work will die down a little bit in winter, I have no intention of, you know, not doing them anymore. I would like to do more of them. I actually, not every session, just because, you know, sometimes you just kind of get in there and you want to, you know, turn everything off and not even think about any, just print. But, I actually really enjoy them and kind of messing around doing. Yeah. It's, they were fun to put together and to do. So I hope to make more of those at some point in time.
Is it just a GoPro that you have going from that angle?
Yeah,
is that,
nothing, you know,
nothing too fancy.
Yeah, nothing too fancy. Nope. Just a GoPro. Just because it's not something where I go in there special just to, make like a little video. I just happen to have my GoPro in a bag that I brought in the darkroom with me. And so I just, I thought, oh, I'll just try it out to see if you could even get, especially because I wanted it not just with the lights on after you're looking at prints, after you're all done, but you know, some of the little bit of the process that goes into it. And I actually picked up, I think everything, you can see it fine, all that. So,
It looks great.
Just thought, get a little bit more creative with it and try to, just show a little bit more.
Yeah. It's got a cool perspective where, you know, you're looking down at things from your viewpoint, right? As you're working along with it. And then I also love where, I don't know, they're only maybe 30 seconds, 40 second kind of little video clips.
Yeah. They're not very long,
which I think is perfect. You know, it just gives you a feel for what's going on from start to finish and you're done. It's awesome. It's perfect.
Yeah. And that's it also too, is just, that was more just by the nature of it, not by design so much, just because of, I was in the dark room, you know, printing. And, so, you know, I had, a second, maybe something was in, you know, stop bath or it was in a fixer. So I was just kind of waiting just to see like, hey, what do I need to tweak on this? Or is everything, you know, do before I turn the lights on. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll, you know, shoot a little bit with a GoPro and then, get right back into it and then piece everything kind of together.
Yeah. That's awesome. It works out really good. I wanted to ask you, so I'm not much of a darkroom printer anymore. I've definitely spent my time in the darkroom. Logan's got a killer darkroom there in his house. That's really, really nice. Where is your dark room set up? The reason I'm kind of asking this is, you know, I'm hoping of part of doing this podcast is that people can know and realize that you don't need, you know, an incredible dark room to do good work. Right. I mean, you're a great example of that. You know, I was doing the same thing. I had no running water out in my garage. That's where my dark room was for the longest time. Clearly, you mentioned you had the exact same setup. That may have changed now. But, you know, a lot of people, I still process film in the bathroom. Where I do printing now is out in the garage. But, you know, you can accomplish some really great things without having an amazing space. But I'm curious now, have you moved out of a garage situation with your darkroom, or where are you working now?
Well, it's like, you know, you can only be a good driver if you're driving a Ferrari.
yeah, right.
You know, it's you know, not exactly the case. And then if I could, just with my first darkroom, with that, just, I told you I went to grab an enlarger in Idaho. It was on, you know, secondhand. I found it online, drove down there. It was $100.
Wow.
I grabbed, you know, just, I think it was just a few trays from, it was either Freestyle or B&H. I don't know. They were having, and it wasn't, it was really whatever was the cheapest ones. And then, you know, I didn't have running water, anything like that. And I got some of the foldable tables from Target or Walmart, one of the ones. And that was kind of the first dark room.
Yeah.
You know, oh, and I get the plastic and duct tape to, you know, get all the light out.
Yep.
But, and a Safeway. So that was, yeah, that was pretty much it. Now, actually in our house that the basement is finished. And so there's a guest bedroom downstairs that no longer a guest bedroom, but it could be. And so there is a bathroom that's right off of it. And so it's one, you go through the door, it's the bedroom. And then there's a bathroom right off of it. So I have running water. And also you can, with a bathroom, you can stay in there longer, which is awesome. Cause that was a predicament in the garage. And so there's no windows, anything like that. So I just converted that into a darkroom space. So yeah, awesome. There is no bed or anything like that, but the, you know, I have, I made up, a sink that's, it's not really a sink, but it's, you know, plywood 2x4s. And, I use, it's the, they have the commercials with it that, the guy puts the screen door on the bottom of a boat and then paints it over and
completely
water is it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your sink will definitely float.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. I tested it out on the pond just to make sure before I put it in the so yeah, I made two of those that can fit 16x20 trays in it. And then I have a table for my enlarger, and luckily I have, like I said, the bathroom's right there. So I have running water. So for doing that, but that's still my darkroom space. I mean, at some point in time, I would love to have build an actual darkroom, but hey, it works great for right now. And then the biggest, I have a lot more space just to be able to have the bigger, the sink to have the, you know, 5 or 6 16x20 trays that are just kind of there for, you know, developer stop, a couple of 6 baths, and then just a holding tray. And then with platinum palladium platinum palladium, I also do everything right in there, but same setup. And then I just have my the UV light for that, for exposing.
Yeah.
And Logan, are you in your darkroom right now?
I am. Yeah. This is the place. You're kind of seeing that's my sink there.
Yeah.
Where my print is. But I spend a lot of time in here.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But I'm not having a lot of work right now. So this is kind of what I'm doing to ease my mind and try to put everything at ease and figure out, you know, what's going on like everyone else in the next few months. So I'm a freelance, television production. So I work for mostly Portland Trail Blazers NBA team. So we just finished up the playoffs and now it's kind of like, when's the next season starting? So I kind of dove into, you know, the carbon process and pretty traditional in how I approach capturing my image and probably a little experimental in how I display it with the carbon. And but my silver stuff is pretty straightforward. I don't do anything, you know, crazy really. Just try to make the print that I saw, you know, when I took the image. So
Do you with your carbon work, have you shot completely new material, or do you, I mean, do you find that the negatives need to be a certain density in order to get the carbon print that you, you know, ultimately want, or is it,
You know, I haven't changed anything as far as how I meter or process, my film. That's a little 4x5 and, this is a 4x5. That I took with Ryan. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
But, so this is a carbon print on glass. And
Where is that?
But, this is Lower Lewis Falls on the Lewis River in Gifford Pinchot National Forest, which is in Washington.
Yeah.
So Ryan has a beautiful print. I don't know if you've seen it on his Instagram. It's just amazing.
Thanks.
You're not narrowing it down a whole lot, yeah, Logan. Awesome. There's quite a few of them.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Ryan, you're right.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Blushing.
Ryan is a very gifted photographer. I'm so impressed with his work and his diligence to the craft.
I only laugh at you guys saying that because if you only had any idea of how many screw ups along the way to get to what I have on the website.
I think Instagram. That's true of everyone. If you're not screwing up, you're not learning in photography. I mean, it's just how it is.
Yep.
It's fickle.
The trash bin, you know, is my most used darkroom tool.
That's great.
Yeah, it happens.
And how long have you been carbon printing, Logan?
I took a workshop from my mentor, Jim Fitzgerald. He's here in Vancouver as well. And that was, I want to say, February. And it took me a little bit to get, you know, the gear I needed as far as an exposure unit. That's usually what holds people up. And so I finally, you know, built something and figured it out and then kind of dove in right as pandemic started. I really needed something to do. You know, it's kind of like when the NBA shut down, there's nothing, you know, all my jobs for the next few months were canceled. So doing live sporting events for television has been challenging, but luckily they're coming back without fans, you know, here locally. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the next few months. So carbon is kind of new for me, but I really have enjoyed it and tried to push myself to make, you know, cleaner, prettier prints. My first few, you know, were a struggle like everyone, but you eventually figure out what you're doing wrong, like any other alternative process. It's kind of funny that, you know, now silver gelatin is kind of considered an alternative process. I'm not sure I agree with it, but it seems like it should be the standard. What's a not alternative process, you know, if that's the case?
And I couldn't bear the thought of inkjet being the standard, but it's,
that's the way it's going. So Tyler, two questions here. Do you have a particular format that really draws you more than any other? And do you have a printing process that's pulling you more than any other?
Yeah, you know, probably 35 right now, just because of how, like I said, how I am, and that, and that's just the only reason I say that is just because it's what I have with me. If I go anywhere, I'll always have a 35 millimeter with me. But if it was, you know, what would I like to use the most, or if I had, you know, if you have the time to use the most, it would be large format, just to, and the more I kind of go into it, it's probably 4x5, just because of the, it's that balance of being able to transport it. And then, but yet, it can be, you can, I'm a little faster with 4x5 than I am with 8x10.
Yeah.
Which I, at some point in time, maybe I would be, but, yeah, I do like that. And then platinum palladium, although I do, I probably print in silver, or not probably, I do print in silver a lot more than I do in platinum palladium, but I really, really love platinum. When a platinum print comes, and although I haven't tried carbon, and I'm telling myself I'm not going to, but that, I guess, as an idea, you know, large format platinum palladium prints.
Yeah.
But what do I use the most? It's probably 35 millimeter and silver gel.
Silver. Yeah. Your 35 millimeter camera?
An M. I like an M.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Nice setup.
Yeah. And actually, that was, I've had it for 3-4 years. That same camera shop that I went into to get the Polaroid film, it was my local one, so I would go back there, you know, every so often. And there was a guy that was in there that, an older gentleman, and he had collected Leicas for a while. And he was probably, you know, late 70s, 80s, and was getting rid of them. And he had this M6 that was still in the box, and he shot one roll of film in it. It still had the plastic on it, and got talking to him. And it just was one of those things, kind of like a photo where it was like, this is not going to come around again.
Yeah.
Especially and looking at the prices, looking at the prices right now.
Oh yeah.
It was a sound investment.
Yeah. You got it at the just the right time.
Cause right now it's, not that I ever would, but, I could, definitely make my money back and then some on it. It was, but it's been with me through everything, and, everything since I've got it, you know, I mean, it goes with me everywhere. And, it documented so much of, in my relationship, and so it's a special camera to me, for sure.
Do you have a go-to lens with it?
A 50.
Yeah, 50.
Yeah, okay. A 50. 50. Yeah, I mean, there, I do have a couple others that I, you know, secondhand, and that I grabbed when the time was right. 28 and a 90, and then actually most recently a 135, which I actually really like. It's very different, but a 50. I mean, if you look at the sentimental storm clouds that you said, every single shot was a 50.
Yeah, cool.
A 50, like an M. Yeah, that's in the silver gelatin prints.
Yeah.
And it's just something about it that it always hits that sweet spot. Even when I go to like an 8x10 or a 4x5, I tend to gravitate towards the, you know, just a 50 millimeter. If I'm going to go out and you said I could only bring one lens, that would be,
that's it.
It would be a 50 or a 50 equivalent.
Yeah.
And then, but usually I like to have, you know, one wide and, you know, a little bit of a telephoto too, just to have a three lens setup.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Regardless of the
Tyler,
format.
You mentioned, kind of more, pre-planning your series or what you're working on. Can you let us in kind of on, what you're working on now, or do you have ideas for the future?
I've been chewing on a few of them. One I really want to do is a portrait series, just because I've never done one before, and I just would like to get better at it. And it's something I'm not very comfortable with, and I just always get so awkward, and it's just so I need to just, hey, here's a series, and just to have something where, and I'd like to shoot it on large format, because I think that would be a great icebreaker, because it's just something, it's a conversation in itself. And also too, is that, my grandparents are still alive, fortunate in that. And I'd like to, and it's something where I know that someday I'm not going to be able to say I need to, create that image. So that is something where between family, friends, or, different things, I also thought it would be kind of neat to do something on, Zelgado is a huge influence on me. I mean, I love his work. And so, how he did workers, I was thinking, like loggers, cool. Just cause there's some different, companies around here that, could easily do that. And that's been, so some sort of portrait series or a multiple portrait series, and maybe even having portraits and, some landscape or some, if it's a, just for the loggers example, one, having a portrait of them and then maybe the, whatever machine they're, or, a landscape of what they're doing or something along those lines. The other thing that has been, I was looking at, Ray Metzger's work, a while back, and there was a print that he did that was, it was actually the contact sheet, but it was the first frame was a self portrait, and the last frame was a self portrait, and all the rest of the frames are blank in between. And I loved how it was, the print itself was the contact sheet. And I thought that would be kind of neat, just to kind of experiment with different patterns, different ideas, maybe different, almost telling a story in the contact sheet, and then just making a contact print, an 8x10 contact print of, a 35mm negatives. It might be complete crap, but I just thought I haven't really done. And so I do have a few roles that I was just kind of experimenting with actually in the fridge right now that I just, at some point in time, I need to develop them and print those. And then, and hopefully here soon, can travel again and would like to go somewhere and, shoot, someplace new, just because, I love going out and taking a road trip or like a close road trip or seeing something new, but I like it's like a reset button just to kind of go somewhere and just, you think about what you're going to do. You think about, it's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
But
for
those
sure.
are a couple of things that I really want to, try to make happen here sometime soon.
Yeah. And have you found, during this pandemic, your level of creativity up or down, or as far as just what you've been working?
At first it went up quite a bit work kind of got crazy for a while, unfortunately, because like as you were saying, it can be a crapshoot, especially in today's world. And so was fortunate enough that things have been busy the past, or just this summer. So I just have not had the time that I would like to put into something. So since that was the case, I did think, hey, it might be a good idea just to kind of take a step back and reevaluate things. And actually in hindsight, it was great, because I'm getting excited that I have, I'm not so scattered with, going in the dark room and trying, I have a much more, a good idea of what I want to print, how I want to print it, the goals that I want to do for that. And then it's also to just, calm me down a little bit of, not going out and just going everywhere and just trying to capture everything a little bit more methodical with things and then thinking things through, which has helped quite a bit. It has made me, the creativity has gone down a little bit, but in some ways it's almost gone up, even though I'm not creating anything. I don't know if that makes sense. And if that would really answer your question, but it just,
I think it makes sense. Yeah.
It's concentrating my thought process on things. And then actually in the contact sheet idea was, just part of it, just kind of looking through photo books and thinking about things that I'd like to do.
Yes.
And then, not to be too long winded, but the, not being able to travel has also put a little bit of a, just cause it, like I said, I love photographing around where I live, and I think you can always be creative with whatever you have, but traveling was always a reset for me. It was, you know, even if I saw something all the time, I would go and it would just be that reset coming back, and it would, in some ways, not seeing it completely new, but it was just with different eyes, and not having that has been a little bit of a, you know, a downer.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
What about the both of you? Has it seemed that, more or less that you've been, either creating something new or thinking about creating something new? I mean, I know Logan, you were saying that you were started with carbon printing and going, into the darkroom more, but has there been anything else?
I've really just kind of devoted myself to learning the carbon and trying to make as many prints as I can. I've been getting out, quite a bit, still creating new images and, just with the time that I have, you know, not working and looking for work, I kind of find myself, less dreaming and about photography and more being out, creating it. So it's been kind of a luxury and also extremely scary, but I'm very, I'm happy to have photo, you know, as an outlet. One of the things, I wanted to ask you is, what other art have you done? Have you always been a visual, you know, artist or musician, or, you know, how do other art forms play into how you see and create your images?
Music was always a big, I played guitar for a while, or I wanted to play guitar. It was just, something didn't, I love it. And I love it to this day. It just, it never really clicked, no matter how badly I wanted it. There was just something, there was always a block there that just, didn't let me translate. You know, maybe what I had in my head to, you know, the fingers kind of going over the strings, and, I still love
it. Dude, I can relate. You're telling my story, bro.
it's amazing. And music just in general. I love it. And truthfully, it's something where, you know, you have that, if there's that song that will come on, and it doesn't matter what it is, it just depends on what memories you associate with it. But I've never had something so powerful kind of hit you when you haven't heard something for such a long time. Like if it was, high school that you had this song on a summer, and it was a great summer, and you remember all the nights of hanging out with maybe different friends or a girlfriend or whatnot, and then you haven't heard it in years, and then you come back and you hear it, and it's this wave of all those old feelings and all those old emotions, and it just kind of hits you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And so that is something that I always, maybe it's like that goal that I always chase, but hope that I never really get, because I always want to chase it to try to get, you know, to try to keep pushing and try to get better. But that would be, so music always has influenced me to try to get to that. Cause it's just something that just, it's always such a powerful thing. It gets you through the day. A lot of days is just listening to putting on, you know, a good radio station or, you know, your favorite album or something. And it just, you zone out and, it just really makes sense of everything. I don't really, painting or any, not that I would love it. It's just that, nobody wants to see me draw.
I was just going to say that, how do I want to say it? It's, with photography, I think sometimes we may push ourselves too hard trying to look for perfection. And I've had to learn along the way that, you know, it's okay that it's not meeting your expectation. One of the things that I found over the years is I would throw up some images on social media just to put up content. And I hate to say it like that, but it wasn't my favorite, right? Or I wasn't all that into it, but I at least threw it up there just for content's sake. And it always surprised me where images that I was really just completely stoked about, I wouldn't get a whole lot of interaction with. But then the stuff that I'd throw up just for content that I was like, I wasn't really proud of it, all of a sudden it blows up on social media and it blows my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell are people seeing that I'm not seeing? And I think part of it is just that, at least for me, I got so caught up in the perfectionist that I try to be in the art that I kind of lost sight of, hey, throw your work out there. Not saying that all work is going to be good, but you never know. Everyone sees things completely different, whether it be in you or in your art or in your music, right? Throw it out there because it's going to affect somebody some way, somehow. And it's okay if you're not 100% into it yourself.
Yeah. And actually, that was another thing as far as everything that's been, and especially in the past few months, taking kind of a step back from, you know, social media and just, it's not just putting up something to put something up. And to your point, is that something that you could really connect with, nobody else will, and something that you don't could really hit home for somebody, but that's based on their experiences, not yours. And it's something where you never really know. And, really at the end of the day, they're both a win because one, you really like it and it hits a certain spot for you. But if you can even make somebody just smile that or in some ways, maybe even be, if you can get some emotion out of somebody else, that's a win in my book. Just to, because they're reacting to something that you made, and that's just, that's pretty awesome at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But with perfection, it's something that, I always chase and hope I never get just because right. I always want to chase it. You know, it's something where I guess if you get it, then what's the point of continuing? And then that's just no fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
It's a very good point. Yep,
great point. That's actually a great one to kind of, to end on. Tyler, huge admirer of your work. I'm really grateful that we had a time to sit down here and connect, you know, kind of go face to face, if you want to say it that way. Logan and I always have an open door policy when it comes to photography and photographers, in that if you ever find yourself out on the West Coast, in Southern
Washington,
yep, or Northern Oregon, you've always got an open door and we'd love to spend a day with you. So I've got a few guys on Instagram that I've done that with, and it's been just some awesome days, not only getting to know each other a little bit better, but also just learning from one another out in the field, photographing. But, I really hope the best for you and your girlfriend, especially during this difficult time. Hopefully, travel will open back up for everyone and kind of help us with our mental situations. And at least for me, I really looking forward to continuing to see what type of material you come out with. I'm actually really interested to see what you do on your portrait side of things. That's pretty cool. A little bit of a change for you. And I really look forward to that.
Well, thank you both. It's been a great conversation, and thank you. I really appreciate you both having me on, and I'm definitely I'll definitely take you up on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, Soph is from Seattle, so when we can go out and visit some of her family and everything like that, I'll let you both know, because I'd love to come and hang out, go out, shoot for a day, and it would be great. So
there's some awesome,
you'll be seeing me hopefully.
Yeah, cool. There's some awesome places between where we live and Seattle. We can't go wrong.
Yep.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
Cool. Well, cheers, brother. Thanks a lot. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, Tyler.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Awesome that Tyler was able to come on with us and take a little bit of time out of his evening. And I know I'm really grateful that we were able to get to know him a little bit better.
Oh, definitely. What a guy.
Yeah. You know? Very cool guy.
Yeah.
I think one thing coming away from that interview that really kind of amazed me and that surprised me was that he hasn't been photographing for a lifetime, if you want to say.
Yeah, right. He doesn't have the K-1000 in high school necessarily story, which is kind of unique. And I kind of like that about him, you know?
Yeah, starting out with some Polaroids and working his way into a film camera only because the photo store he was going to didn't have any more Polaroids for him. that's a pretty cool story.
That is. It's like, well, what are you going to do now? Yeah, you know?
Guess I'm doing film.
Absolutely.
So, and I think, you know, looking at the type of work that he's producing, especially being, you know, a darkroom printer or an alternative process printer, he's really putting out some incredible work for someone who, you know, hasn't had high school photography classes or college photography classes.
Right.
And I think that goes to show that, you know, you don't necessarily need to put all that time and money into those venues. It's all about what comes out of your heart into your work.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. And I just think, you know, looking at his website and remembering some of the imagery, the snow ones really stuck out as just being spectacular and having that perfect contrast and that real feeling of cold and wind and storm. But then, you know, also a lot of road tripping and just getting out and, you know, shots from inside the truck and, and I was really impressed with what he's been putting out.
Yep. He, I went and revisited his website here at the end and he's got a cool picture of, I'm assuming it's his development tray. So he's looking straight down on his developer tray that's, you know, completely silver stained. It's done in black and white. And if that is his tray, he is doing a lot of darkroom printing for his tray to get that stained. And that's cool.
That's really cool.
That's cool. I like it. Very.
Yeah. It tells you how much he's, you know, working and being in there.
Yeah. Where his passion is.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd like to have him back on sometime, you know, and see where he's at, you know.
Absolutely. He was a great person to interview and to talk with, and especially where he's going to be trying to change his direction a little bit, getting away from the landscapes, you know.
Yeah.
Give him some time to see where that develops. And I'd love to chat with him about that again.
That would be awesome. I can't wait to see how his portraiture comes out. And it's not always natural, you know, to photographers to shoot portraits, and not always natural for, you know, portrait photographers to necessarily shoot landscape or whatnot. He's going to spread his wings and get at it.
Yeah, it'll be very, very cool to see. Well, until next time.